Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Now available in more homes than the Pac-12 Network, we are the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online.
And here he goes, Miles Jack.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com.
Liner going to try to sneak it ahead. Touchdown, SC!
We are the Podcast of Champions. Welcome everyone back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
That's a really good one because I don't think I'm going to sing.
Why not?
You don't want that. I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com. The USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And that's why you don't want me to sing. Together, we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Pac-12, soon to be Pac-2 football. We should just do a Pac-2 podcast, like just Oregon State, Washington.
Fuck everyone else.
That would be awesome.
We are just in deep on Oregon State and Washington State.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Some quarterback movement. We got to recap the two bowl games that happened over the weekend and preview the Las Vegas Bowl featuring the Utah Utes.
These two Utes.
Yep, the Utes going to play this weekend. Just drive down the 15 and go to Allegiant Stadium. So there'll be a million Utah fans there for sure. They're going to play Northwestern. We'll preview that. And then we are going to do a show Christmas Day, it looks like. Maybe live. So we expect all of you to leave your families and watch us live. Why are we doing that? I don't freaking know. We're just trying to do something.
We're just so dedicated to this job.
For the non-paying job that we do here, that we're going to do a Christmas freaking day podcast. That'll be recapping the Las Vegas Bowl and then previewing the remaining Pac-12 bowl games, including Washington in the Sugar for the college football playoff. If you have any questions or comments, we don't have a lot of questions today. I guess we just did a show few days ago, but Pac-12podcast@gmail.com. Dave did solicit some questions on our Twitter account at Pac-12podcast, so we'll do some questions from Twitter. And if you're watching live on our YouTube channel, you can put questions in the chat as well. Just put question up there. I'll try to start.
I believe your shirt color is kind of blowing out the camera right now.
Is it really? Let me look at that.
I mean, it is.
Well, it's pretty.
It's got
red-y.
Like a little a glare to it almost.
It's Christmassy, man. It's red. Christmas time. I'm going to. Have you gone to Candy Cane Lane? You brought your kids there, sure, in Torrance. You have one in El Segundo, like a.
I don't go to Torrance for Candy Cane Lane. Go to the one that actually had a Hallmark movie created about it. You got in El Segundo, baby.
That's like the broke ass one.
No,
like that's the
cheap. They created a movie with Eddie Murphy about this one. Not about your broke ass shit in Torrance.
The Torrance one is like way bigger.
Get out of here.
It's way bigger and better.
Get out of town.
So much better.
Wow. Wow. Sound off in the chat, everyone.
The little, like, that's like the, you know, no. That's,
dude, it makes crossing Center Street at a certain time of night during Christmas actually a dangerous proposition. And if you know El Segundo and you know Center Street, that's a crazy thought.
Yeah. Amy says, David, you should have wore green.
Didn't yeah, I know.
Plan. Yeah. We did not. Is there any, says, oh, Cam says it looks orange. Quite the range of notes. Thank you, Cam. Yeah, I cannot sing.
Thank you, Colt. Look at Colt.
Word Colt's
in. Yeah, Colt knows what's up.
Where's, let me see Colt's thing.
El Segundo, Candy Cane Lane over all the rest.
All right, are you kidding me? No, that's just awful. No, it's like it's cute. So, is there a new movie about it? Like that they just did?
Yeah, they did a Hallmark movie.
Is that the one they were showing him in like USC gear or something?
Dude, I don't know. I didn't watch the movie.
You sure? Well, because
I had no idea.
West Texas Mike says my shirt is radioactive.
It does look burnt orange.
I could change the lights.
Oh wow, we got breaking news in the chat.
What? Hold on. So we have some. Plus, you got to do this.
I wonder if we should pronounce this the one and oney or the one and oney.
Up to you.
I'm going to go the one and oney because I think that's funny. Wow, thank you so much. That's extremely generous. Happy holidays to you as well. He says, happy holidays, bros. Appreciate all you do. Go Bruins. And we appreciate you. That is extremely generous. Our listeners are fantastic.
That's amazing.
I love them. They're all great. All of you, you're fantastic. Every single one of you.
And by the way, David controls the account there, so this is probably all going to him. So you know,
I haven't dumped any of it yet. Nice. I still need to set up the like account that it pays to.
Oh well, good.
So it's just kind of it's sitting, but it will be emptied.
But thank you for the super chat. That was really sweet of you. So if you're listening on our podcast, yeah, the one in Oni gave us a $99.99 super chat. So thank you so much. That's awesome. Happy holidays to you. Great stuff. Yeah, I wanted to thank our sponsor too before we jump into everything.
We got more breaking news first.
Oh, before we do that, hold on.
A rival podcast.
Wait, no way. We don't have rivals, do we?
A rival podcast. The much hated, much loathed No Truck Stops, a Pac-12 podcast.
They're still around.
Yeah, who knew?
Really?
Hey, I found a new way to advertise our podcast. They have also contributed to the Super Chat. Thank you very much. If you'd like some more Pac-12 content in your life, and yes, if you'd like basketball talk, please head on over to the No Truck Stops, a Pac-12 podcast, where between two and about seven co-hosts regularly,
like 15. Yeah,
regularly talk about Pac-12 items, right, and it is an enjoyable listen. So please take a gander.
No, thank you, guys. They do a great job over there doing – so I think they're going to focus on – I listened to their show, and they're going to focus on the Big 12 and the Big 10. So I guess they're ignoring Cal and Stanford and the poor Beavs and Cougs, I guess, too.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Their brand.
There are a lot of Beavlets over there, which is good. We all love the Beavs. We're going to try to just do at least the plan right now is just to talk about the 12 teams that – are currently in the Pac-12 and won't be when they scatter across the world. But thank you for the super chat. We do appreciate that. And I do want to thank our sponsor over at MyBookie. They've been great to us. I put my bets in for this weekend, so broke even. I went 1-1 against the spread. David, I don't remember what your record was against the spread picking the first two bowl games.
It's so hard to recall from Saturday.
Yes.
And it was so many games, you know?
Just two. And, of course, they were overlapping.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Well, the cow game you didn't get right, right? Because I got that one wrong. We agreed.
That's true. But certainly the game of the team that I cover, where I should have a feel for it in some way, I should have gotten that one right, right?
Yeah, you did not.
Oh.
We'll get into that. But, wow. Yeah, so I broke even over at my bookie, but it's great.
But it must – I mean, it must have just been obvious from the beginning I wasn't going to get it right,
no,
right?
No. It looked – I was like going to send my – yeah. No, that was not the case.
Oh.
Maybe, yeah. Well, we'll get into all that, but it's good. But yeah, you didn't do a very good job. 0-2 for David. I went 1-1, so broke even. But been doing all my picks over at MyBookie throughout the season. I'll keep doing it through the bowl games and then if we do any kind of off-season stuff. So make sure you check out the site every day between now and Christmas as they're giving away boosted bets, free bets, and more. And make sure you use the promo code PAC12. So when you make your first deposit, you will get a cash bonus. Who doesn't like cash? We love cash bonuses. So PAC12, and that will continue to be, as long as they're our sponsor, they'll continue to be our why am I blanking on the word? Or the keyword or whatever.
Promo code?
The promo code. My brain just turned to like mush like instantly. Maybe it's just thinking about how bad your picks were. Maybe that could have been it. Yeah, the promo code PAC12 will not change. So you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only at my bookie.
That was a tremendous read.
Thank you. And it wasn't really a read. This was more of a, that was just off.
That was heartfelt.
Yeah. You know, I just got some notes from them and just kind of roll with it. But it's been good. Yeah, man, I really wanted to get that Cal game and go 2-0 in the first week of bowling. Hopefully we'll get the Utah game right, excuse me, this weekend and get it all that. Lewis says the shirt broke my monitor. There's a lot of, a lot of shirt talk. I guess I can... change the lighting maybe if that would be good. Probably not changing the shirt because I don't have another shirt here, but whatever.
No. I think you should keep it exactly the way it is.
It's red.
It's orange. It's burnt orange.
It's not burnt. I guess I'll change. I'll definitely change the lighting.
You look like you are a Texas Longhorn.
Oh.
You look like you go to Daryl K. Royal Stadium regularly.
They're going to play. Yeah, that's going to be a fun one when they play Washington. Former head coach, former
You look
DC.
Like you enjoy Snow's barbecue.
Ooh, I do like barbecue. I haven't had barbecue in a while.
I'm trying to think of another Texas thing, but I can't. I got nothing. You look like you wear a big
Breakfast
hat.
Breakfast tacos. Oh, yeah, big hats.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Okay, so we got some news on the quarterback front. So Washington gets their quarterback. Was it Will Howard?
Will Howard. Yeah. No. Will Rogers.
Will Rogers.
You're Will Howard.
I'm not Will Howard. That's the...
I like to think of you as Will Howard.
Mississippi State.
I often say, I got to co-host a podcast with Will Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mississippi State's quarterback is heading to Montlake. So he's going to play for the Huskies up there.
The Fighting Kalens.
Oregon already got a quarterback, mm-hmm. right? Who did they get? I think it was...
Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, so he's like legit, right? Then they got out and get another one.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, Dante Moore.
Yep. Have we heard of him?
Not an A.
Nope. Incorrect.
former five-star
mm-hmm.
from the Michigan area.
Yeah.
Committed to Oregon.
Yeah, and now he's there. Now he's there. So I don't see anything else that needs to be said. He made it all the way to Oregon.
He did. It just took a little while. Yeah. He stopped in Los Angeles to throw a whole bunch of interceptions, and then
decided... Was it a workout or something?
It was a workout if you were picking UCLA.
Yeah.
So David, you might know what's going on
here. Is this I'd rather serve in heaven than be a king in hell? No.
Yes.
He's going there to be like a backup, which, wow, what a commentary, right? What a commentary.
Would you rather be with Chip Kelly going into the Big Ten or go back up Dylan Gabriel at Oregon?
Well, and I'd be willing to wager a considerable sum that he's probably making less money at Oregon as a backup than he was going to be making at UCLA.
Oh.
John
says Snows is not in Austin. So
whatever. It's outside of it. Don't be a pedant.
They do have breakfast tacos at like gas stations in Austin. So
yeah.
That's good stuff.
What was I going to say before you broke my train of thought? What's this pedantry? Dante Moore. I think if you watch Dante Moore this year, he played three pretty good games. And then he began to struggle, and you could see the confidence, his desire to play, his desire to continue behind this offensive line seep out of him, like a slowly deflating balloon, to the point where, like, when he came out there against Cal, it was like he looked like he wanted to be anywhere else but on the field playing in that game. It was a necessary thing for him to get out of here.
Yeah.
It was necessary for him in his development, for him as his, you know, as potential professional football player, whatever. He needed to get out of UCLA because there was something obviously not going right there. So I wish him the best. I hope he, you know, sits behind Dylan Gabriel for a year and then he's, you know,
takes over,
ready to start. I think legitimately, I think he's going to need some time to rebuild his confidence, rebuild, you know, kind of who he was as a player coming out of high school, because there's a lot of promise there. I think a lot of UCLA fans are extremely down on him, and with good reason from a performance angle. I mean, he was throwing pick sixes left and right, but I think a huge amount of it was wasn't put in a position to succeed, was playing behind a very bad offensive line, was given a whole host of plays that nobody in this quarterback room was going to run correctly. And I think it just snowballed for him. And I think there was, you know, the fact that he was, you know, getting a heavy amount of NIL, and nobody else on UCLA's roster was getting a heavy amount of NIL, or, you know, they were getting some, but not at his level. I don't think it led to, like, a lot of supportive stuff either. Like, I think there was expectations. There's expectations on you if you're getting that kind of thing.
Right.
I think it was just, it was a bad setup for the kid. And, you know, you can be one of those personal responsibility people where it's like, well, he should have thought of that or, you know, whatever. I don't have much sympathy for him. And that's fine. But from my angle, I think, you know, get a change of scenery, play behind a really successful quarterback in a really good offensive system for a year, and then see what you're able to do as a redshirt sophomore in 2025. If he can compete for the starting job then, that'd be awesome. And I think it'd be very cool to have to see him have some success after kind of what he was dealing with this year.
Yeah, so two big quarterback pickups for Oregon, maybe the quarterback of the future and the quarterback of 2024 going to the Big Ten. USC lost a five-star quarterback, Malachi Nelson, from here, Los Alamitos. He's into the transfer portal. Didn't really see much of him or anything of him. So curious to see where he ends up. But, yeah, they got Miller Moss going. And Jake Jensen, former walk-on, is their backup quarterback right now. So these quarterback rooms can get a little, you know, slight, I guess, when these guys transfer out. So we'll see. And USC hasn't picked up a quarterback yet. We still don't know Cam Ward. We still don't know DJU. I think they both visited Florida State last week. So there's still some quarterback news in the Pac-12. But those are anything else you've heard quarterback-wise?
No, it's you know, Will Howard to USC. But other than that,
potential, yeah, like
yeah. I mean, we'll see if USC flubs that, like they're flubbing everything else, except for, you know, potentially picking up UCLA transfers. No, I think that's about it at this point. I don't anticipate UCLA getting any quarterbacks in the portal.
You don't think so?
I don't think they're going to get any starting level quarterbacks in the portal.
Hmm. Before we get into the recaps of the games, Chip Kelly did have a plan for college football. Mm-hmm. It sort of went off, and not sure it would work. I mean, I think it'd be a good idea for a lot of stuff, but like equal revenue sharing, like people aren't going to go for that. But do you want to kind of go over what he said?
So what Chip said, he gave a little 2 minute soliloquy about this during the Friday press conference before the game, basically saying what they should do in college football is separate football for the Power Five and the Group of Five from the rest of the sports. So basically, keep everyone in their regular conferences, but have football be essentially like a separate, more or less professional league attached to the schools, where the Power Five would be in one league, the Group of Five would be in one. You play according to regional divisions, but you play, you know, seven games against your division. Then you play a couple of cross rivalries. Then you play some of the G5 teams in your region. But you do equal revenue share, one TV contract, basically making a mini NFL. I think it's one solution. I think it's painfully stupid. I think there's a lot of problems with making things a mini NFL from an organizational standpoint. I think you can do it within the old confines and old structures of the old conferences. His idea about one TV contract, though, makes a ton of sense. I think to steal a little bit from his idea, I think you need a czar. You need somebody yes. who's in charge of the whole thing and is in charge of only football. I just don't know about essentially making it because he was talking about like having a West and East and all this other stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, OK, but why not just do what we've been doing with a Pac-12, with a Big Ten? Like, you can still maintain the old conference structure while making football independent. Like, you don't need to make an entirely new structure for this thing. So that was my take on it. I think he was talking about essentially making a mini NFL, but doing revenue sharing and all that kind of stuff, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that would be the hardest thing to sort of implement, antitrust or whatever. I mean, there'd be all kinds of stuff that would be kind of like, oh, everyone makes the same. But they do need some sort of czar. I think you need to separate football. Like, I think there's some fundamentals there that would need to happen. But we have these little fiefdoms everywhere. And do you think the SEC wants to give up what they have, or the Big Ten wants to give up what they have?
Well, this is the point he was making that I think was this is the kind of the underlying point, which is, I think, a very good one, which is they do a lot of cutting off their nose to spite their face, and the SEC continuing to just scoop up as much money as they can, the Big Ten continuing to scoop up as much money as they can. And this is what we've been saying on this show for 2 years. It's going to lead to the destabilization of this entire enterprise. Like, you're going to end up with, instead of having 130 teams still participating in what we would call major college football, you're going to have 30 teams participating in major college football. And then eventually you're going to have that even go into tiers where it's 10 teams competing in major college football and 20 teams who take some losses every year. The reason the NFL works the way it does is because there is parity. Like, you have a salary cap, you have a draft. All of these things are designed to create relative equality between the 32 teams or whatever the hell. And that's also why you have, they balance the schedules and all those different things. There's no good way to do that with the number of teams in college football. There's no good way to create a salary cap because of the way they do revenue, because of all this other stuff.
Yeah.
So you can try to apply all of those things to the college football system, or you can say we're not going to try to be an NFL system. But none of that works is if everyone is a purely selfish actor. If that continues, you're going to end up with Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, Florida, a couple others playing one sport, and then everyone else playing a different sport. And it'll just be these hierarchies that and that's not to say it isn't already, but it'll be increasingly so, and increasingly essentially just a competition between 8 to 10 teams every year.
Yep.
We know we need the money.
Listen, we're not just doing this for money. We're doing it for a shitload of money.
So that's why we are today. I changed the lighting a little bit. I don't know if it makes the shirt worse or better. I don't remember what this drop is. I want to play this real quick.
Oh. Yeah, this not something I'm going to tweet. Not some breaking.
Oh, okay, that was
my breaking news.
That was the breaking news. The other prediction I did put up, I couldn't figure out how to put up like a quick clip, but
that was so good.
I could you know what? Why don't I add that to the soundboard? We could do that.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So David, I'll grab that in the
very high on Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels.
Yes, you like he like. shit. Let me pull it up here real quick. Here, you talk for a second.
This is great radio.
Well, you talk for a second.
What do you want me to talk about? You didn't set me up in any way to talk about anything. You want me to preview a clip that we're gonna play and it's gonna be 28 seconds?
You're not going to. I'm gonna just do it right now. You could talk about I don't know, like what you did today or.
I woke up. I made my kid a lunch. I took one of them to school.
So yeah, if you did get a weird feed, like something on your feed, this was it. Any thoughts on Jaden Daniels going to LSU?
If I were him, I would have either found a comp, which means probably go within the Pac-12, or drop down a level.
Heck, if he goes there and kicks butt, it looked pretty good for the Pac-12. Like, oh yeah, he wasn't that great in the Pac-12, but he's coming to LSU and kicking some ass. So I don't know.
Can I just say something?
Sure.
Because I like to make bold predictions.
Yeah.
There is absolutely zero chance he starts a game.
Wow.
So I nailed it. I nailed it. No, I nailed it.
I was like, it'll make the Pac-12 look good.
He dropped down a level to the SEC. I nailed that. And two, he never again started a game at ASU. I don't know. Frankly, I don't know what you're talking about.
So good. And the fact that I was like, hey, if he goes kicks ass there, it looks good for the Pac-12 that he couldn't hang at ASU, but he could like win a Heisman at LSU. So yeah. I feel like I was on that a little better.
He dropped down a level, and he never again started a game at ASU. Frankly, beautiful analysis.
But your other prediction was right, because you said Colorado was going to leave, right? Was that the other one?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think that was the one I had on the board there. So good stuff. John Wilner, right before we went out, has a story. Make sure you go check him out over at the hotline. But apparently, so I'll read you the beginning of it. He says, according to the only authority that truly matters, the Pac-12 is now the Pac-2. Washington State and Oregon State were given control of the conference's governing board Friday through a momentous display of inaction by the Washington Supreme Court. The justices declined to review a lower court's preliminary injunction that established WSU and OSU as the only board members and lifted a stay that was preventing the two schools from taking action to secure the future of the conference. As of right now, a source after the ruling from Olympia, there are two board members in the Pac-12. So that's where we are right now. It is the Pac-2. Apparently, you know, the control of that $420 million is what, you know, the other 10 schools are worried about. They've already withheld this distribution for, you know, the winter one or whatever it is. And I think a lot of the reasons are the liability of the lawsuits that you could potentially be, you know, so everyone leaves and then the Pac-12 or the Pac-2 would still be on the hook for those liabilities. And yeah, so a lot kind of going on there, but it looks like Washington State, Oregon State have control. And,
beautiful.
That's where we are.
As it should be, but yeah, as it always should have been.
Wilner's got more details in there. Any thoughts on that? Are you good with it? All right, well, why don't we do our
Pac-12 Roundup.
Yeah. Because we got to talk about two bowl games that happened over the weekend. Like I said, I went 1-1 in my picks against the spread. David had the over. Good for him. So I'm only two behind you now.
Yeah,
which seems like
I've had an interesting stretch here.
You've had a rough finish. it was like the opposite of UCLA's bowl game. You started off in Fuego, mm-hmm. and now you are absolute. Hold on, let me see. You are
ferocious.
Yeah. They're going to be ass.
Yep. You were ass.
Yeah.
Okay, first bowl game. Oh, I forgot that part. I feel like I have to do it justice.
They're going to be ass. Huge ass.
I think it was West Texas Mike that cut that one up for
us.
So thank
one.
You. Yeah. Cool. Okay, so we have the Los Angeles Bowl presented by Gronk, and we had
UCLA Bruins.
Yeah, they were taking on the Boise State Broncos.
Yeah.
UCLA won 35-22. It was 16-7 at halftime, Boise State. Colin Schlich started the game. What I understood, I reported this before the game, what I understood was Ethan Garbers was a late scratch, just didn't quite feel ready to go. That was confirmed post game.
Colin Schley has arms, right? Like, I'm not sure I've seen
he has arms.
I've only seen the legs part.
They just don't know where they don't know how to work right. okay. And so sometimes they go in the right place, sometimes they go in the wrong place, and the ball flies hard, very hard. He throws it extremely hard.
I assume they practice the throwing and.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
or does he just run the whole time?
He throws
practice.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think his goal is to see if he can fit a ball literally through the chest of a defender.
Oh, okay.
Like, can I throw it hard enough that I kill that guy and get the ball completed to my intended target.
Who's behind the defender.
And it hasn't worked yet.
Okay.
But in the fullness of time, who knows? But he wasn't able to go Kali Ma with a football in this game. Instead, he had a couple of really nice runs that set up touchdowns, but then got hurt on the second of them, which is in the third quarter. And Ethan Garbers, who scratched himself pregame, said, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for my team, the whole thing, and led a massive comeback. They scored 28 unanswered after halftime before Boise State scored six towards the end. It was a really, really impressive showing from Ethan Garbers. They rediscovered that J. Michael Sturdivant is very fast and can catch bombs downfield, and he caught a couple. They rediscovered Kyle Ford, big, strong guy. You can throw possession balls to him, and he's going to come down with them. That was cool. T.J. Harden had a nice day running the ball. Carson Steele was unavailable. So it was a nice showing. Defensively, they looked like a struggle fest in the first half. A lot of bad tackling. But they knuckled up in the second half, started playing aggressively against the run, and that shut down Boise State, which was running a true freshman at quarterback out there. And he looked like a true freshman who'd never thrown a college pass before this game, and that indeed is what he was.
This is so, I mean, you hate like the cliche of like a tale of two halves or whatever, but it literally was like UCLA players looked like they were hungover. It was like the early morning fishing trip in Cabo, and you're out drinking till 4 a.m. You got to be at the deck at.
It was like 5:30. A Vegas Bowl.
It was insane. Yeah. Like, it did not look like they wanted to be there. Boise State was just running all over them. Like, no tackling. It was always like second and two. Schley had that one really nice run. And the good thing is, Boise State was like floundering in the red zone. So they were kicking field goals. And if they were scoring touchdowns there, I don't think UCLA can make the comeback. So. At least the defense, you know, UCLA didn't have their defensive coordinator. So who was calling the defensive plays? It's
Akaika Malloy, their defensive line coach.
Okay. But they were like within striking distance. But if you looked at what was happening, you're like, this is a dead pace.
No way they looked dead in the water.
Yes.
Like, and the Ethan Garber's spark that he provided in the third quarter was everything just suddenly.
He was like Joe Montana.
Flipped on it. Yeah, no, it completely flipped. And I will say this. Boise State came out. Bush Hamden is their offensive coordinator. We remember him from his Washington days.
Oh, yeah.
Painfully stupid. Like, they came out and.
The second half.
So the first half, they're just running it. Yes. And they're running it into stacked boxes and still getting like 7-8 yards a pop. They come out throwing in the second half with their true freshman quarterback, who had never thrown a college pass before this game and wasn't like tearing it up in the first half.
No.
And he's like, you know what? I'm going to zig when they're thinking I'm going to zag. And lost all momentum. They went 3-and-out, I think, on like 3 or 4 of their first possessions in the second half.
Yeah. The thing that was like, when I was watching the first half, I'm like, okay, this is no, because I took UCLA -4. Actually, by the time I betted on my bookie, it was like -5.5. So like, I was getting a little worse. It was, but the line was going up like more for UCLA, and you're like, well, Vegas didn't know what they're talking about because Boise State is just pushing them around. There was I think UCLA had a good chance to get a stop. It might have been near midfield, and it was 3rd and 15, and they literally ran it up the middle for like 16 yards at a first down. And I'm just like, I'm screwed. There's no way because I was like, come on, this is not going to, this isn't going to work. But Garbers, it's like, how the hell does Garbers not? Did Chip Kelly say anything about it, or was just what you guys were reporting what was going on there?
What I literally just told you at the beginning of the show. He talked about it after the game, and he said he was a late scratch in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I know you had said that. You had reported that before the game.
And then I said on this very show, play the tape, everyone, that he talked about it post-game.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, like, to go from a dude that can't throw the ball to someone that was slinging it and just, like, finding open receivers, like, oh, it's great to see Sturdivant. It's great to see Kyle Ford, like, make plays. Like, what the hell were you doing in the first half? Like, literally didn't
Not just in the first half. What were you doing in the previous 11 games? Like, what the hell? J. Michael Sturdivant had, I think it was, I looked this up after the game, 278 yards in the first and last games of the season. And in the 11 games in between, he had, like, 300.
Wow.
Total. What are you doing? What is this? And the thing is, like,
he was good at Cal.
People were saying, like, oh, well, you know, he was getting more time to throw. And it's like, the touchdown bomb, he threw it when, like, J. Mike was, like, 5 yards off the line of scrimmage. Like, he just tossed that thing up. Like, it's like, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Just throw bombs, dude. Shit's easy.
So what's Garber's, like, year-wise? Is he going
to He's got another year.
Is he going to stay?
I would be surprised if he didn't at this point.
Okay. Yeah, because it's like, he looks like he's the dude. Like, every time, you know, oh, Dante Moore. Nope, Garber's comes in way better.
He wasn't the dude at the beginning of the year. He played in that first game, and Dante Moore outplayed him, and that's why Dante Moore started the next three games.
Yeah.
But once he got his confidence, I think if you watched this game, what stood out to me was that Garber's looked completely relaxed, completely no pressure, completely like, what the hell? Let's just throw it up there and see what happens. And the end result was, you know, one of the better offensive performances of the season.
Yeah. And especially if you don't think you're going to play,
yeah,
like you probably didn't do all the pregame routine stuff. You might have ate like an extra couple of cookies before.
You're not feeling all that just like weight on your shoulders. It's like, oh, okay, I got to come in and, you know, we're struggling. So what the hell? Maybe I can provide a spark. And that's the attitude if you're, you know, if you're that kind of guy, that's the attitude you got to have every game, you know?
Insane. All right. Well, UCLA gets the bowl win for the Pac-12, the final year of the Pac-12. Could the Bay Area schools do the same? Next up we have...
California Golden Bears.
The sturdy Golden Bear was not so sturdy in the...
Less than sturdy.
From the opening kickoff, not so sturdy. The sturdy Golden Bear lost by 20 to Texas Tech, but on the opening kickoff, their kicker slipped as he was kicking it off. Still got remarkable distance.
It went further than I thought it would.
Yeah, remarkable distance. And then Texas Tech returned it. They think they've got a big opportunity, but they fumble on their own 25. And who recovers it?
The sturdy Golden Bears.
The slippy kicker.
Oh, the kicker did.
Yeah. So. And then Cal scores then.
The next play,
next play.
Yeah.
So there was one offensive play after Cal kicked off, and that offensive play was by Cal, and it went for a touchdown.
7-0.
Correct.
Boom.
It's like a riddle. Like, how does a team kick off, never play any defense, and score on offense, and it's the only play in the game?
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway. From that point on, more or less, Cal's offense was a shit show, I think is the...
That's fair.
That's the technical term. They scored one more touchdown, and then they never scored again. The offense looked like complete horrendous ass in the absence of Jake Spavital. The offensive line...
They're going to be ass. Huge ass.
Yeah. Their offensive line was horrible. Horrible. Absolutely horrible. And Texas Tech, like, they just kind of kept, like, you know, pouring it on a little bit. And Cal just looked awful. Fernando Mendoza played pretty bad game. He threw three picks. They went 3-and-out a ton in the second half. Turned it over on downs a couple of times. I think there was a fumble. It was just a horrendous offensive football game. Their high point was literally their kicker slipping and then recovering a fumble.
Yeah, it was... 14-all, I think it was 14-7 Cal, and Texas Tech scores the next 27 points. Not good. I think, you know, Cal couldn't run the ball, which is a problem. You know, Jade Knott
was too busy recording trolling videos.
I guess that, yeah, he's coming back.
He's coming back.
Yeah. There were UCLA fans like looking to get Jade Knott? Was that a big... I think USC fans were...
That was so last year, buddy.
Oh.
So last year.
Okay. Yeah.
Back when there was hope.
There's no hope now.
There's no hope.
Well, they just won the game. Eight wins, man. That's pretty impressive. Ooh. Won the bowl game.
I haven't threatened it in a long time, but I will jump over to that table. I'll knock over all your equipment, and I will strangle you.
I mean, the adjustments to make in that second half, amazing. Like,
yeah,
lock that guy up. As a contract, not in jail. I would say... Yeah, the blocking and tackling part was a problem. I mean, Cal's defense has been kind of crappy, but I think, you know, they couldn't really do much against Texas Tech's offensive line. They couldn't really open up holes. and protect, you know, Mendoza. It just, you know, it was promising in the beginning, and then it just was absolute crap. So,
yeah, the Mendoza line was not very good. Did you like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mendoza's line?
Yes.
Yeah. It was below average.
Like it a 200. Poor. Like 200. Yeah. So yeah, it was an unfortunate. We both thought what were we getting? How many points were we getting on this one? We got
3
points. We both were on Cal. Thought that they would come out and, you know, they were 3-game winning streak. Thought they'd continue that and play well. Start off fine and then just looked very, very bad. But we've seen Cal look very bad in certain games and then sort of play up in other games. 6-7. I mean, getting the 6 wins this year, I don't think a lot of people thought that was going to happen.
No, nobody thought it would happen. Not even heading into the final game of the season, but magically they did.
But somehow they did.
Yeah, somehow.
So they get this weird Independence Bowl game, and Texas Tech cleans their clock. So not good, Cal. But all right. Anything else on those games?
Good God, no.
1-1 in bowl play. For the Pac-12. We got one bowl game coming up this weekend. And like I said, we're going to do a show like on Christmas to recap the aforementioned game that we're about to talk about and then preview the remaining Pac-12 bowl games. But this weekend, you get to watch, if you're in Vegas, you can check out in person this team.
Utah Utes.
The Utah Utes, these two Utes are playing in the Las Vegas Bowl at 4:30 p.m. on ABC.
Another ABC game, yeah.
Against the Northwestern Wildcats.
Pretty good.
Utah is a 6.5-point favorite in this game.
Last I checked, is it? I don't know if it's updated, but yeah.
No, that's what I've got.
Okay.
Do we know who is going to start at quarterback for Utah in this game? Is it going to be the Luke Batari show?
I don't know.
Bryson Barnes is in the portal, but he said I'm not going to leave them hanging was the most recent thing. He wants to finish out the game with his guys. Okay. I think it'll be Bryson Barnes.
All right, that helps.
That helps, right? Theoretically.
Amy says go Utes, I'll be there.
Yeah. Amy, please give us some information because of, you know.
She said
yeah.
Pig Farmer. Pig Farmer. Is Pig Farmer starting, Amy?
Yeah, we think Pig Farmer. I'm going to just make sure I speak everyone's language here. Pig Farmer. Pig Farmer starting at quarterback. Northwestern's a very bad football team. Bad program. They fired their coach this year.
They did. Well, to start the beginning of the season before it even
Yeah, yeah. They play a disgusting brand of football. How did they finish with 7 wins? Let's go through this. They lost to Rutgers. They beat UTEP. They lost to Duke. They beat Minnesota. They lost badly to Penn State. They beat Howard, some guy named Howard. Mm. They just beat the shit out of him.
Actually,
they didn't beat the shit out of him. It was a close contest with Howard.
It was like a bar fight or something? Like they
must
were
have
drinking
been. They lost to PBRs. Nebraska. They lost to Nebraska 17-9. They beat Maryland. They lost to Iowa.
Beat Maryland's big. Like Maryland's.
They beat Wisconsin. Game. They beat Purdue. They beat Illinois. They have not beaten a single good goddamn team this year. Just a bunch of shit they've played. Utah's a good team. I'm going to take Utah.
Really?
6.5.
Okay.
Yeah. Northwestern, I don't know a thing about you, but you look like dog shit.
Okay. Now, not just to go against you.
Mm.
Yeah,
they beat Howard by 3. I mean, some guy named Howard.
He's tough.
That's my favorite joke on this show, and I can't say it without laughing. And it's so stupid.
All right. So here's what's going on. So Pat Fitzgerald, long tenured coach, you know, all the preseason controversy gets canned. It's like a really weird thing. They promote David Braun to be their coach, right?
What are you talking about? Why do you have Northwestern information? What is this?
I do research.
Why?
Yeah. Because I'm like 2 games away, so now I might be able to figure out what's going on. So David Braun, so he gets this job. Okay, you have this beloved coach. Like, imagine Chip Kelly being fired preseason, where everyone loves him. Everyone just all these. It's just it was the biggest. You know, the big boosters were behind him. All the stuff gone. He takes over a literal dumpster fire, like the worst off season you could possibly have. Northwestern had it, and somehow this dude gets them to 7 wins and they go to a bowl game. He was the Big Ten coach of the year. Did you know that, David?
No.
Yeah, he was. They gave him the permanent job in November. They won their last 3 games.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
They're in Fuego right now. Okay, maybe not in Fuego, but they are rallying around this dude. You know, everyone, you got teams, especially middling teams, a lot of dudes leave. Portal-wise, they have 4 guys leaving, and only one of them was a contributor, like one of their best offensive linemen. But outside of that, people are sticking around. They're going to be fired up for this one. A lot of, you know, yes, Utah's close. You can drive down the 15, but LA's close too. You got a lot of Northwestern grads live in LA because it's all the theater and the entertainment world people. They're living here. I was at the 1995 Rose Bowl, David. Keyshawn Johnson, Northwestern, they had a lot of dudes there, a lot of people there. They're going to be fired up for this one. No one expected this team to go to a bowl. Worst offseason ever. Oh, Big Ten coach of the year. I'm getting 6.5 points. And Utah looked like a bolt. You know, when we don't know what the roster's going to look like going to a bowl game because all these guys are leaving. That was Utah all year. Now it's like another order of magnitude worse. Pig Farmer, whatever, he's in the portal. He's going to be playing. Give me the Wildcats in this one.
Jesus Christ.
6.5 points? Come on. I'm in. Did you like that?
God damn.
That was some analysis.
We have to talk so much Big Ten West next year. God damn.
When you're playing. He literally was the Big Ten coach of the year. So I don't know. Who the hell knows? Because it's bowl games. It's crazy. But I'm going to just take the points in this one because like they've actually been playing pretty well. And Utah... And every game in the games they play, they didn't have enough dudes. Like, how are they going to have guys for the bowl game? I don't know. A lot of dudes left. So,
dude, that felt like getting hit in the head with a 2x4. Listening to you talk about Northwestern football,
we're going to do that a lot.
There's going to be so much discussion of Minnesota football, of Iowa football, of Indiana football, of Illinois football.
So good. Mark had a funny comment. He said, Ryan remembers going to the Rose Bowl. Yeah. I remember going to that one. I was a fan of that one. That was before, that predated USCfootball.com. Mm-hmm. But that was a crazy Rose Bowl. Keyshawn went bananas. It was a lot of fun. Mm. What's your favorite UCLA Rose Bowl win that you've been to? Like, I know it's probably hard to pick.
They've had a lot of wins in the Rose Bowl.
The granddaddy of them all.
I enjoyed the Cal game in 2005. UCLA Cal in the Rose Bowl. It was a nice game. I enjoyed it. Maurice Drew.
Was that Aaron Rodgers and Marshawn Lynch?
No, that was, if I remember correctly, that was Joe Booyah, Ayoub. Oh. If I remember correctly, 2005? I think it was Booyah. Anyway.
Yeah, and if you guys didn't get the joke, that was because we were doing a segment, an off-season segment. We're like, which Pac-12 teams would you like to see play in the Big Ten? And I said, you know what? It'd be cool to see like Washington and Ohio State. I think it was Washington, Ohio State. I'm like, yeah, that'd be a great matchup. And like not remembering that I was at the game that Washington just played against Ohio State in the Rose Bowl like, you know, a couple months before. That would be that joke. Okay. Well, why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back and answer some of your questions. So back in a minute.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, we're back here on the podcast of champions. You know what we do? We talk about champions. We talk about Pac-12 football. We take championship level questions from we have great listeners, great audience, championship level questions.
You clearly have nothing to do today. You're just like, no, let's expand on Northwestern football for 5 minutes.
I had to make the pick. Oh my God. Share my knowledge. Oh, drop some knowledge bombs on the Wildcats. We've got
an email question.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put up Colt thing and you can do the email question afterward. Colt in the chat said, UCLA took more deep shots and was more aggressive against Boise State with throws. They've done that more than their last six or seven games. Is that indicative of things to come, or is that because Boise State's secondary was so bad?
I don't think it's indicative of things to come. That hasn't been a feature of Chip Kelly's offense since he's been there. They attack the middle of the field with tight ends and slots, and I would imagine that will continue. I think it was a function of Boise State not having a great scout on UCLA, so they were doing a lot of man coverage on the outside, maybe more than they saw in Pac-12 play. And also, I just think it was a little bit of them doing something different when Garbers came in. That was kind of a fresh start for them because Schley probably can't hit those throws. So they're thinking, okay, well, based on what they've been running, they've been trying to attack our run game because of Schley and the run game. So let's take some shots outside, and it worked.
Yeah.
So I think it was more a function of in-game adjustment and, Boise not having a great scout on who to cover for UCLA because they basically went 11 straight games without targeting their best receiver.
Plus, having a quarterback with arms is good.
Try naming all the ACC is a fun one. That's from Bobby B.
So Jim D said first, can Dave name all of the – oh, crap, I pulled up the wrong one. Can Dave name all the teams in the Big Ten?
All right. Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA. So that's four of the 18, right?
Yes.
Or is that four of the 20? How many are there now?
18.
18. So that's four of the 18. Then you have Rutgers, Maryland.
Yep.
Who else? There's nobody else in there, right?
That's
Ohio State, Michigan. Yes. So I'm at 10. There's only 10 left, right?
There's 8 left.
Wait, no, I said 8, so there's 10 left, right?
You said I'm at 10.
Yeah, so I've got 10 left.
Okay.
Penn State, Illinois, mm-hmm. Indiana, mm-hmm. Northwestern.
Yes.
Wisconsin.
Yes.
Minnesota.
Yes.
Iowa.
Yes.
Nebraska.
Yes.
Is that it? Purdue.
Purdue? That I don't. I wasn't keeping track.
Why weren't you keeping track? Did I miss anyone?
I don't know. Ask the chat.
Damn it. I thought you were looking at a list or something while I was going.
No, I wasn't. You were just going. God. I could do it for the ACC.
All right. You do it for the ACC.
I think you got just about everybody there. You got Wisconsin.
Michigan State.
Michigan State. Okay. Yeah, Michigan. All right. Perfect. And now he wants to say, try naming all the ACC. Let me pull up the ACC.
No, you can't. Oh, you want me to do it? Okay. All right. You pull it up. Ugh, this is going to be a lot harder for me, by the way.
Okay. Let's see. All right. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 14 in there.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Who? Boston College.
1.
North Carolina.
2.
NC State.
3.
Duke.
4.
Wake Forest.
5.
Clemson.
6.
Florida State.
7.
Miami.
8.
Georgia Tech.
9. There's another Tech.
Virginia Tech, Virginia.
10. 11. I just gave you 2.
Yeah, you did, baby. Peering deeply into the abyss right now.
USC's playing one of these teams.
Who are they playing? What bowl game are they in again?
Holiday.
They're playing... Wasn't it NC State?
No.
Who the fuck are they playing?
Louisville.
Louisville?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's 12. Who else is in that league?
Okay, Syracuse?
Oh, God.
Did you get Pittsburgh?
No.
Okay, Syracuse, Pittsburgh.
God damn. It's the old Big East. Still fucking with me to this day.
Get some Big East ones, yeah. Yeah. Oh, we also got a super chat. Let me pull that up. This is Bobby.
Bobby B.
What's the exchange rate these days?
Yeah. This feels like a almost 2X West Texas Mike.
Oh.
Is what it is.
Nice.
But thank you, Bobby B. You are a gent. Okay. All right.
What was the email?
We're going to get to the email question now.
Okay.
All right. This is from Jaron from Vancouver, Go Dogs. Hey, guys. The POC is an above replacement level podcast that likely will find a home in the podcast transfer portal, but unsure how much NIL money you're actually going to get. I listened, though, and typically don't hate that I listened. I hope I will still get to hear you all in whatever version of this exists in the future. Also, I am so glad UCLA is keeping Chip. Dude is really building something there, and I'm glad he is getting adequate time to really lay a foundation. I think UCLA will be a team on the rise after a few more years. Okay, Jake fucking Browning is playing really well now in the NFL. His arm has gone from noodle to pretty decent rifle. While your takes on him and ongoing jokes were not devoid of truth, I love seeing him do what he is doing. Hearing Dave's take on Jaden Daniels got me thinking, who else have you all been so dead wrong on? Jaron from Vancouver. Wow, yeah, the Jake Browning renaissance in the NFL has been something to behold.
There's still Jake Browning. I've watched some of that.
Yeah,
there's still some Jake Browning moments.
Yes.
It's not like he's just lighting it up. You know?
I think didn't he have like a shoulder injury or something like midway through his Washington career that, you know,
maybe
Washington fans
it, yeah.
are always like, nah, and we were like, no.
Oh, we forgot West Virginia. Jim Troy put that in there.
No, they're in Big 12, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Good Duh. God.
Well, why did he say West Virginia? Yeah.
West Virginia.
Oh, my God.
Mountain Mama.
Texas Mike put there's a video of you. Did you see this?
No.
In the response? Oh, my God. You got to look at this video.
In the
tweet.
Oh, there's a video of me saying what?
It's not really of you, but it's kind of a.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. Yeah. Got it. Okay. All right. Well, the Jake Browning Renaissance has been very cool. But all right, should we get to the Twitter questions now?
Yeah, who were we really wrong about?
Oh, all of everything we've ever said.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
I mean, there's lots of guys that we were high on who turned out to be dog shit. Josh Rosen, in the NFL.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, you listen to us talk for, I don't know, an hour each week. And I would say in that hour, there's probably two or three things at least where we are violently and disgustingly wrong on. Right?
Yeah. I mean, but to be fair, like if you talk for, it's usually closer to two than one. You talk for that long.
I'm always amazed we're still speaking English at the end.
Sometimes I'm just like, my brain turns to mush.
Well, think about this in your life, person out there. How often are you engaging in conversation with a person? Like just not recorded, not on video, but how often are you engaging in conversation with a person for like an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. And then having people chime in.
Yeah. With like, oh, you said this wrong, or oh, that's not English, or oh. Yeah. Yeah. You try it, buddy.
Yeah. All right. Should we go? Let's do some Twitter ones.
Yeah, please. All right. Okay. I'll start with Chris.
Where's that one?
It's top for me. I don't know. I'm looking on my personal account, so it's people who I follow or follow me. Anyway.
Okay.
Number one, punctuation and capitalization in tweets. Overrated? Ryan doesn't think so, but that's because he's got an old head. I think so.
I'm a punctuation person.
He's probably one who punctuates his texts.
I do.
Yeah. Freak. Very overrated. In fact, it's like the lingua franca of the entire internet is no punctuation, no capitalization, none of this.
Really?
No gods, no masters. Two, Wayne Cook UCLA, he added him, is much more positive on UCLA football than you guys are. Who's right? I am.
I'm positive on UCLA football.
As I just got finished saying, I'm always right. Never say a wrong thing. I mean,
Wayne Cook does have UCLA in his Twitter handle.
Yeah, Wayne has a job to do, and so do I. His job involves him getting paid by UCLA. So, and that's not to say that somebody can't be an honest actor talking about something that they get paid by. I mean, a lot of people do, and I think Wayne's really good at his job. He said a bunch of stuff recently about the state of the program that is hard to prove in any real way.
Gotcha.
And, you know, some might call it propaganda.
Ah.
Who knows? Three, the Daily Podcast did a piece on CTE and teenagers today. Should we eliminate full contact from youth football? Well, this is a fun little topic. If we want to get out of our little headspace right now, we should eliminate football altogether from the youth on up. Now,
you
that would be bad
do?
For our business. But no, it's modern day gladiator combat. It's not good. We should all become much, 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 much bigger basketball fans. But it's a sport that people enjoy. People still consent to play it. But if you think too hard about it for any length of time, you become disgusted by the entire endeavor.
Wow.
So don't do it.
Aren't there like more concussions in like soccer and stuff? Like,
uh-huh.
So should you eliminate soccer too? We both don't like soccer, so I guess.
Yeah, go for it, buddy.
That's fine.
Eliminate headers.
My livelihood doesn't, rely on soccer. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Do you have anything else in that one or no?
Oh, and for Dante Duck, but I already spoke about that.
Gotcha. Okay. We did have a super chat. This is weird. I don't know. It's like four West Texas mics. He says four West Texas mics for David to sing. Here we go. Here we go. Like his doppelganger.
Hang on. I gotta, can you play it? Can you play the sound?
I don't think I can play the sound through this. I would have to like download it or something.
Hang on. Let me
find
the
video. So
that's
the video he shared.
I gotta turn my volume up. So give me a second.
Four West Texas mics for David.
No, God. I don't want that going.
You got the. Here we go. You are really bad at this.
Hang on.
Thank you for the.
Where in the video is this? Here we go.
I don't know. This is great.
I don't even know how. It's a minute and 15 seconds. I'm not listening
to
that live on air.
Sorry, West Texas Mike.
Come on.
Thank you for the. Yeah, we can't listen to videos while we're like.
No.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here we go.
I didn't listen to it, so that's the best I can do.
Nice. But it's like some guy like in his underwear walking down the street in socks, drinking a clear liquid that is probably
not
I don't know if it's clear, but it's
probably alcohol.
It's probably alcohol. He has a beard similar to David's beard, so I don't know.
What are you gonna do? All right, you gonna do the next
one?
Yeah,
Shane has one. We're only a couple weeks away from the highly anticipated, quote, Podcast of Champions postseason top 10 poll, an arbitrary poll written by me that rewards neither best nor most deserving. Are there any POC contributors you think warrant a place on this year's season end poll?
I think it would only be fair to have West Texas Mike in there.
Yeah, because he became a currency that we based everything on, our praise on.
Got to have Perk.
Perk was the voicemailer.
Our constant voicemailer. In absentia, I think you still have to have Hithloday.
Really?
He hasn't emailed in so long.
It's been a while.
It's heartbreaking.
We've had some, like, Jim Choi is like, so we have some chat, like, you know, just people that are just great in the chat. Jim Choi.
Yep.
Amy.
Colt Bush.
Colt Bush has been great. Amy has been great in the chat. Mm-hmm. She discovered that YouTube exists, so I think at some point. And we've had a couple, like, the super chats, like the one in Oni, like, and we've had some other big super chats. There was who was the $100 one from last week? Do you remember?
Why are you putting me on the spot?
I don't know. I just remember who it was. But, like, yeah, the major super chat people, I think we got to have included.
Yeah, go discover who those were again, please. And we should have kept a list. That would have been polite.
We could probably look on, I think it might be in the analytics.
Yeah.
Everyone's saying Zodiac Killer. Yeah.
Obviously Zodiac Killer.
And who's the other funny voicemail?
Oh, Alan in St. Louis.
Yes, he's been amazing too.
Yeah.
So anyone else you guys want?
Yeah, sound off in the chat and we'll name some more at the end. But we love you all.
Yeah. Shane, of course.
There are many of you who post things. You're all great. Andrew, who gives us the schedule things.
Oh my God, yeah, and I ran into him in Vegas.
He never asks any fucking questions anymore.
No,
he doesn't send us eye charts to diagram on camera.
Oh no, I didn't run into him. Matthew, who helps
Matthew,
who
Matthew,
who runs the poll. Yeah, I ran into him in Vegas for what was it? He was there. Yeah, he was there for the Pac-12 championship game. So I ran into him in one of the casinos, Park MGM.
Mm.
So it was good to see him.
Frank in Sacramento, who's never asked a question, only provided statements.
Camp says, what about the stoned guy from Arizona? I don't remember him. John from Brea. Yeah, we got a lot of good nominations. Shane, your job is not going to be easy.
It's not easy this year.
No.
Chad, UCLA Maltese, asks, who wins in a spelling bee between all current Pac-12 coaches, and why is it Kenny Dillingham?
I don't think Dillingham would win.
Oh, he's got big spelling bee energy. I don't know if he wins, but he's got the energy of a spelling bee champ.
Yeah.
He would over-prepare. Yeah, and he would hyperventilate and actually mess up because he says the wrong letter because it sounds fucked up in his mouth because he's like breathing too hard. And he's like, no, I didn't say L, I said A.
That's what I'm thinking, that he might just like,
he might break down under pressure.
Or just go off the handle and just kind of like, yeah.
You know, Kyle Whittingham, I would say suddenly being an analytics guy makes me think his brain has odd powers that, maybe he can spell like crazy. Old guys, I think, actually have an advantage here over the young guys because young people don't know how to spell anymore.
Right.
Because you don't autocorrect and all that kind of stuff. Like Dan Lanning and Kenny Dillingham are probably eliminated from the jump.
Jim Choi says Chip Kelly wins. Chip would probably be good.
He'd probably be pretty good.
David Shaw would win, right, if he was still around.
David Shaw would be a good speller.
Yeah.
Jonathan Smith, the departed Jonathan Smith.
I think he'd be good.
He'd probably be a good speller. Kalen DeBoer, I don't think he can spell. I think he can probably spell maybe 100 words, 120 words tops. Just he has a mind fully dedicated to winning football games.
I bet you Coach Prime like won spelling bees when he was young or something.
He feels like so Coach Prime. So like from a
he's just good at everything.
Competitor so standpoint, I think he'd be really good at it because he would just over prepare.
Yes, he would be studying the dictionary.
And Jed Fish,
I think it'd be good.
He'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
Lincoln Riley again, 150 words tops.
It's all football.
Just. Yeah.
Not a lot of spelling bees in Moleshoe, Texas or whatever.
Yeah, no, no, okay. No. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I think there's like a high – there's like – I think the Pac-12 generally impresses me as a good spelling coach league generally.
Okay. Yeah.
But I would say probably my pick – honestly, if I had to pick one, it's probably Chip.
I'd probably go with Chip too.
Yeah.
Jay from Thessalonica. Pick a new Big Ten rival for
Jay from Thessalonica. Is that what you
sure? Whatever. I just glanced at it. What is it?
Thessalonica.
It's Jason Tafari is the Twitter account. Pick a new Big Ten rival for the West Coast Four. He says USC's is obviously Iowa. I don't know if that's obvious,
wait,
but
so
sure.
What was the question? Sorry.
A Big Ten rival.
Okay.
For the West Coast Four. So.
Oregon is
who should Oregon be? Wisconsin?
No. Okay. No, it would have to be one of the top tier.
Wisconsin's up there.
No, they're not.
Okay. You have a lot to learn about the Big Ten.
No, they're not. You're insane. It's got to be one of Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
So which one? So Washington, I think, is Michigan. That's the one that makes sense. They rhyme together.
Then I think that Oregon would be Penn State.
And USC gets Ohio State? But USC is much more the Penn State of late.
But that's just the tradition of those.
Oregon gets Ohio State. USC gets Penn State.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who's UCLA get?
UCLA gets Rutgers.
Nebraska?
No, Rutgers.
Or Wisconsin?
Or Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe Indiana.
All right.
Maybe Purdue. Maybe Illinois. Maybe Northwestern.
Okay. All right. What's the next question?
But certainly not anyone good.
Okay.
You want a question? Is that what you want?
Yes.
Okay.
I can do it.
All right. Next up from
I can talk
Matthew,
about Northwestern more if you want.
MC DeCoste. Do you ever get a kick out of how some fans seem to think any kid their school is interested in had better commit or else their school is washed and can never recruit again?
There's definitely a lot of narratives when it comes to, you know, it's like you can just write down like it's like Mad Libs or like, oh, this guy left. This guy's in the portal. If you're a doom and gloomer, it's like, oh, we suck. We're never going to be good again. And the player could have never even played a down. Or you could be like, oh, he was terrible. The coaches, you know, he was a cancer in the locker room and that's why he's gone. So I think depends on your point of view. You have like the same thing. And then every player you get, if you're the doom and gloomer, you're like, oh, he was bad here. It's not going to matter. They need a lineman anyway. This sucks. Or, oh my God, we're going to win a national championship now because this guy's the piece that we needed, you know? So I think there's like it depends on what your point of view is, if you're the pessimistic fan or the optimistic fan, and then you sort of have like a template that you would do for every guy that leaves or comes.
Mm.
Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just fan brain. There's a lot of fan brain going on with recruiting. But I mean, I think some of it is like there are situations like UCLA just missed on two San Diego State offensive linemen, a Colorado State DB. Like they're missing on Mountain West targets, which, I mean, I think that is a commentary at some level.
Well, you're like not a lot going of guys, after them on purpose because it's Mountain West. UCLA's shooting higher, so that's positive, right?
And a lot of them are going out of region, and it's just like, you know, what is that? That's a commentary on recruiting staff. It's also a commentary on NIL. It's a commentary on a lot of things associated with your school that are not good or pleasant. And I think it's fair to take that as such in many respects.
Yeah.
But there's also situations where, like, you're throwing your hat in the ring. And this is true of schools that are actually recruiting and trying hard. You'll throw your hat in the ring with, like, a five-star, and it's a five-star. You know, they might They've got a lot of different reasons for going different places, and they've got attention from a lot of different schools recruiting them hard. I mean, UCLA is going after guys who are going to West Virginia instead. I mean, what does that mean? Not good.
Not positive.
Or going to play for Billy Napier in Florida, where he goes 5-7 every year.
Nice.
You know?
Igor Smash tweeted in, will Washington beat Texas, and why is the answer yes?
Because they beat them last year in the bowl game.
The preview, we will go into this.
Mm-hmm. That'll be next week on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Spend your Christmas with us.
Yes.
Ich heiße Bill.
Yep.
Re-rank the top coaches in the Pac-12 after your bad attempt earlier in the season. So funny you referenced that. Neither of us remember it under any circumstance. I don't remember ever doing that.
Yeah. I mean, are you going to put DeBoer 1?
You had Lincoln Riley 1, and I argued with you that Kalen DeBoer should be 1, and you poo-pooed the entire idea.
Well, now it's clear.
Yeah, and it was clear then, and I made that clear to you, and you're like, come on. That was your expression.
That's a good one. Oh, wait, yeah. I thought you didn't remember.
That's the only part I remember.
Okay.
Kalen DeBoer, 1.
Are you going to go Whittingham? Or what's...
I'll probably go Wiley Kittingham.
Okay.
Next. After that, Jonathan Smith is gone now.
Right.
So he doesn't.
And it's hard if you're going to say, like, did you, you know, this year, like, you'd have
Jed the Fish.
Like, if you're just talking about what the year they had, like, then yeah, you can rank that. But it's like, if you're going to talk overall resume.
Well, we can project ahead, too. I mean, Jed the Fish has gone 1-11. 5-7, now 9-3. I mean, that's a trajectory right there. But I'm not going to make him 3.
I would put Chip Kelly 3, I think. Or maybe 2. Maybe behind DeBoer. Do you like this?
Lincoln Riley 3.
You're going to do that?
Then Jed the Fish.
Okay.
Then I'm going to go Dion.
Oh, okay.
It's more commentary on what else is out there. Troy Taylor.
You're missing the Fiesta Bowl participant.
Who?
Oregon.
Oh, Dan Lanning. I thought we'd already mentioned him.
No.
I'll go Dan Lanning 3rd or 4th.
Okay.
So push everyone else back.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll be ahead of Lincoln Riley.
Okay, Landanning.
Landanning ahead of...
Where's Chip going for it?
Chip's 8th or 9th.
Okay.
Ahead of a bunch of guys who we don't know. Like Oregon State's guy, we don't know. Jake Dickert kind of sucks, right?
Yeah.
We're pretty clear on that now. Justin Wilcox sucks fully. Yeah. And then Kenny Dillingham somewhere in the like 7th, 8th, 9th range.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. I puke Oregon Gorello. Who's your early favorite for the Pac-12 in 2024?
I like Oregon State.
I think Oregon State. If you start Pac-2, Oregon State for sure.
Yeah. I know they lost the head-to-head to Washington State last year, but I like Oregon State to come out there and really beat that ass.
Yeah.
Bobby, where? Is it better to come in second in every recruiting battle so you can get a handful of those players when they inevitably transfer a year later? It depends on the reason you came in second. If you were second because you had a lot less NIL money, but you were a better fit in a lot of ways, you know what's going to happen in a year when they transfer? You're going to have a lot less NIL money than the person pursuing them the hardest.
Yeah.
I think there is some value in recruiting guys hard that you don't think you're going to get. And by recruiting them hard in that situation, I mean like calling them frequently and maintaining a relationship because of the transfer portal now. Especially California kids for the UCLA and USC staffs who are going out of region. Maintaining contact with them throughout the recruiting process, even if they're fully committed to like Florida or some shit from like June on, is a good idea, because then when they inevitably get recruited over by Georgia kids or whatever, they have a built-in relationship where you've been kind to them and nurtured them throughout that process, and then they can come and transfer back. That stuff matters, but it's more with like bounce backs who struggle. I think with the guys who are like transferring out, who are just looking for another payday, which is the main reason you transfer out of a place. I don't think you're going to be there for the payday either.
Yeah. Jim had a comment. Washington State has more players staying and ranked way higher in the 247 recruiting rankings. So, yeah, Oregon State did lose a lot. More than, but you kind of like their trajectory or whatever. C-Boy Fisher, hypothetical for Dave. If Dion told Martin Jarmon, that's UCLA's athletic director, if you don't know, talking to you, David, I'll be available. I'll be available next year. So if Dion said I'll be available next year, would it be worth keeping Chip for one more season to get Dion?
No. No.
Just keep him anyway.
No. So the problem with that line of thinking, this like magical idea that like, you know, you can sacrifice this for this payoff later with something like your enjoyment of your leisure activity, your enjoyment of your hobby, is like, what are we talking about? Like, what is the thing we're discussing here? Because you only get so many years of like doing the things you enjoy doing, paying attention to these things. And it's like, you're not making like a sacrifice in your job to like, I don't know, make a little bit more money later. You're doing like an apprenticeship or whatever. It's like, this is what I would do in my leisure time. So yeah, I'll eat a 4-8 season so that maybe Deion Sanders comes and like, what, drops the entire roster and brings in an entirely new one that will take a few years to gel. Like, what the? No, the right time to fire your failed head coach is today, and that's always going to be true.
With UCLA, a coach like Chip, who's not failed, you don't want to fire him today.
Well, I will jump across this desk. But like, I guess my point is with Chip Kelly, like, the right time to fire him is always today. Like, the right time to fire him is in March. The right time to fire him is in April. The right time to fire him is like literally coming off the field of a spring practice. I know it feels ridiculous, but that's just fundamentally true. There isn't a timing question. It's if your coach has failed, if they are dead in the water, if their recruiting apparatus is just completely defunct, if they aren't getting donations, if they aren't getting NIL support, if fans aren't coming to games, the right time to fire them is always right now, whenever you have the thought. Like, whenever, like, you're, you know, you have that moment of clarity where you've been sundowning for a while, but suddenly you pop into consciousness, and that's what UCLA is. It's a sundowning athletic department. When you pop clarity, when you pop lucid for just a second, that's the right time, right then. Doesn't matter when it is. And that's the part that I think you can get all this, like, magical thinking about, oh, we could do, you know, it's just not the right time because there isn't the right coach available. And it's like, there are 90 coaches out there who could energize the UCLA fan base and generate a little bit more NIL. Like, it's not the right time, always right now. That's my soliloquy.
All right. We had a chat question from Amy. Do you like the dates of the portal? If not, when are the better dates for the portal to be open?
There's problems because guys want to be in their new place for January.
Yeah.
And some schools are going to be more stringent with that, and some schools are going to be more lenient. Like, you can start a few weeks later into the semester or quarter, and some schools aren't. So I think the reality is it's something that everyone's going to have to deal with if they're going to have a portal window at this point. And that's just, you know, kind of the way the cookie crumbles. I think it would, they could always create just this understanding that you have to stick with your team and you cannot enter the portal until whatever, after the school year. It just unfairly penalizes guys who want to get a jump start on their next stop. And it's hard it's harder to get playing time if you're only there for falls. For summer camp,
yeah,
and summer workouts. A lot of times, if you get that leg up in spring, it's important. But this isn't, I guess the thing is, it's not like a thing that's unsolvable. Like, you could also move the spring practice schedules for a lot of these teams. Like, you could do some things to work around the players rather than constantly working around the coaching schedules. You can change up the recruiting calendar. There's a lot of different things you can do to make it possible to do both. Because the unfortunate reality is, I think a lot of these kids would like to stick with their teams it's just not feasible. Like, they have to do visits. They have to go check out other schools. And so they're like, yeah, I'd like to participate in the bowl, but I can't. I cannot do it. And yeah, there's opt-outs. There's guys who are like, you know, I want to prepare for the NFL draft and all that kind of stuff. But I think a lot of times, like, I know some of these UCLA guys who are going, like, they would have liked to have stuck it out for, but the way the bowl game schedule was, they had to play on the 16th and they had to do visits that whole time. So how are you going to practice?
Yeah.
So anyway, all of that is kind of a tough issue to crack. And I don't see them changing the portal window. I could see signing day moving.
That's what I want to see.
I can't see the portal window changing.
I think the portal window is okay. I'd rather see signing day go back to February. And maybe if you want an early thing, you could do
like that. That's just selfishness on your part, though.
A July, August. There's too much going on right now. Like, yeah. Way too much going on right now. Signing day is tomorrow. Yeah. Like, what the hell?
It's stupid.
It's so dumb.
Stupid. Yeah. Okay. Adam Spain says, if players are getting paid to pay to... getting paid to play, essentially, shouldn't they have to play in their team's bowl games or forfeit essentially a portion of the NIL for not playing all the games? So there's a big misconception that all players are getting paid like some substantial amount. They're not.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys aren't getting paid really at all besides the like extra stipend they get from the school. So a lot of times what you're talking about is penalizing guys who are not getting money. So there's this idea that this has professionalized all athletes at the college level. I would love to see some numbers on it, but my understanding of the UCLA roster is like, I don't think even over half of them are getting really much of anything. Like, they're getting little bonuses here and there, but yeah. Like from a, you know, what you're thinking of as the numbers, like they're getting like a year's salary of like, say, 50 grand or more. Most guys aren't getting that. By far, most guys are not getting that. So. Yeah. They're not professionals. And they shouldn't be treated that way. That would be poor treatment.
Cycling Ute 22. What's one thing you could say about each program that would absolutely infuriate their fan base? That might be tough to do.
That'd be tough to do.
Is there anything pop into your mind? Like, you know, for, like Oregon, it would be like the zero national championship thing. Like, that's the zero on your helmet. USC would be some kind of living in the past thing. UCLA could be keeping Chip, or it's a basketball school. What would Utah be? Something about BYU being better or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd just be annoying stuff about rivalries. I mean, I think, yeah. I think for USC, it's all about, you know, I think they're at minimum the third best program entering the Big Ten this year. Like, I think at minimum, they're the third best team, new team entering the Big Ten this year.
They might be fourth because UCLA with Chip Kelly running the show, like, he's got to be number one, right?
That was a great rejoinder.
Yeah.
That was really nice.
Thanks.
Yeah, you sold that well. All right. This is next up. Tails the Cat 79. What kind of law would David have studied if he went to law school? Ooh. So this is where I always got tripped up, Tails the Cat, is that thinking about any of the law made me want to do anything other than go to law school. Like, the idea of going to law school as a 22-year-old when I was 21-year-old, actually, when I took the LSAT for the first time was there's a lot of money involved that you can make. And, you know, my parents were a mailman and a waitress. So my understanding of like professions was basically like something from a Richard Scarry novel. Like, you could be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, oh, I could be this type of engineer or whatever. So it's like, oh, lawyer. Yeah, that's one of the jobs that makes the money, right? So it was like that. But then I had friends who went to law school because I took a victory lap. I had a very good friend who went to the University of Chicago Law School.
Oh.
It's a very good law school.
I think it's very good. Yeah.
Top five. And she discussed it as maybe the most miserable experience. Like 1L especially, the first year of law school. And that was just like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. Because I've shared on this show, I wasn't a great student, by which I mean I didn't go to class regularly after my first year. And I actually stopped buying the books after my second year. So I would attempt to pass classes having neither read the books nor attended class.
But you were smart, so you could get by.
I was subject to dismissal at one point. I found myself at one point, and this is probably the lowest point of my scholastic career, reading the Amazon book reviews of a textbook I was supposed to have read to determine how to write the paper based on the textbook I was supposed to have read.
Okay.
So anyway, law school and I would not have been a good fit at that point of my time.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think we have any more. Do you see more? Igor Smash says, why did UCLA decide to score 21 in the third? And how would you like to reimburse me following your lead on picking Boise? Cash, Venmo, Cash App? Well, that would be David because I picked UCLA. So, yeah. So you can, if you want to Venmo me, Igor, for your mistake, you could do that too.
Jeff Jacana, I think is how you pronounce that. He has an important question.
Oh.
Can you do a deep dive into the etymology of, quote, motherfucker? So etymology, do you know what etymology
is? Yeah, so we're the origin of the word.
The word origin.
Yeah.
So motherfucker. I think it's very specific.
Is it really?
Well, I think it's, I mean.
It's like descriptive. Like
yeah, what? I mean, it's referring to somebody as somebody who fucks their mother, right?
It's like the Oedipal thing going on or whatever.
That seems pretty demeaning.
Yeah.
Right?
Their own mother or any mother.
The word dates back at least to the late 19th century. In an 1889 Texas murder case, a witness testified that the victim had called the defendant a goddamned motherfucking bastardly son of a bitch shortly before his death.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a lot more recent than I would have thought. That feels like one that would have come from like Shakespearean times, right?
This is more like...
But no, late modern. 1800s, yeah. Just motherfucker. There is an interesting thing where like certain cultures, most of their swears are like religious swears.
Ah, okay.
Some are very shit-oriented swears, and then some are very sexual-oriented swears.
Okay.
I think in English we kind of hit them all.
I've got
an expansive swearing vocabulary, and also like time honored, and you know, like I am not religious, but I drop some heavy Jesus Christ's a lot of times.
Yeah, because there's the whole like take the Lord's name in vain part. So it's the religious,
but it's not in vain. I'm taking it. With all of its power and needed energy, right? I'm doing it with purpose, you know?
But the religious, it's funny that you mentioned it because like the religious part of it, but there's also like anything to do with shit. So something like what's the worst, you know? Okay, you defecate. This is, we're going to compare you to actions of whatever, well, like, your butt.
I often think calling somebody a piece of shit is actually one of the worst things you can say about somebody. Yeah, like you're saying you are not just a piece of trash. You're not just like garbage. You are a piece of bodily waste that comes out of a person.
Yeah.
Like you are a piece of shit.
This is what we don't need to keep going. Like you've eaten something and this is what you don't need to.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you are waste. You are waste. Yeah. You are a waste of, you know, a pile of bacteria has chomped my food and you are what is left. You piece of shit.
There was a funny Rick and Morty that they went into like get a cleanse and the toxins that were taken out become like, there were like two people. So there was like Rick and Morty, like with all the toxins gone. And then the Rick and Morty with, you know, the toxins. So they were like the terrible.
Yeah.
You know, so it was kind of funny. Like, and they're in this tank and they try to come out and they had to merge back together. It was pretty good. But there was like the shittiest parts of you became this other entity, you know?
Yeah. Jesus Christ, you motherfucking piece of shit.
It's a good one.
It's pretty good.
1800s, like they probably, that's probably the high water mark for swearing in this country, I would say, whenever that court hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if, like, people not liking So obviously people have like religious reasons for not liking the religious swear words. Like they've got their rules and stuff.
Well, if you say like Jesus Christ, you're like, are you taking the Lord's name in vain? So that would be.
Yeah, but what does
like,
that even mean?
So
like,
you're.
No, but what does that even mean? Like think about what that means.
I mean, you're
like, I'm not doing a prayer right now. I mean, I kind of am. It's a very angry one, but it is.
I mean, yeah, I think there's like you're supposed to be praising Jesus. Maybe not asking for that car you want for Christmas, but certainly not.
But like when I say
not saying it in a way that's say, like this is the worst thing that's ever happened. But, I'm going to invoke.
But hang on. But when I say God damn it, right? What am I saying?
It's. I mean, I think that's one that would be in the category of.
Yeah, but what am I saying? I'm saying, homie, can you take care of this situation right here?
Like shit's fucked up.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm sorry if it's not like, you know, I think it's actually a very succinct way of asking for the same sort of help. But I wonder about this. So obviously that makes people, you know, and probably people are getting pissed off right now. But there's that piece. But then there's like, okay, but why are the like vulgarisms like so frowned upon too? You know, we're not like if I called you like a poopy headed deviant, right? Mm. Nobody would say, oh, that's vulgar, right? But if I call you a motherfucking piece of shit, that's vulgar.
That's why? Vulgar.
But I'm saying the same thing.
And it's less personal. Like, what if it was more descriptive? Like, what if
I called you a poopy headed deviant, people would think that was funny.
Yeah. One of my buddies, we used to call each other kid toucher. Like so that's kind of a kid toucher.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, and think about what you're saying.
Right, like that's like, terrible. Like,
yeah.
Right.
You're calling him a pedophile.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, I think people just – what I think it is really people don't like angry speech. They just don't want angry words.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Like, but I like how you put it there, the categories. It's like the religious-based ones, the defecation ones, and then the just sexual ones.
Yeah, it's bodily humor, sexual humor, and then religious humor. And it's but like I think it comes down to people just don't want angry tone.
Yeah.
Like I think that's mostly what it is, and then they come up with all these other reasons for why. But it's just like if my kid says, fuck, but it's like in a cute way, it's not a big deal. But if they say, fuck, it's like, oh, that doesn't sound very nice.
No, I don't like, yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of it just comes down to tone and usage.
Dion doesn't swear.
Who gives a shit?
I know. West Texas Mike, people in Texas like to call others, quote, that little shit ass.
Yeah, shit ass is great. If you watched Reservation Dogs. It's a great
Reservoir Dogs.
No. So it's a play on that. It's Reservation Dogs. It's about a bunch of kids who are on a Native American reservation, American Indian. What are we doing now? What's the thing now? Is it American Indian?
Native Americans.
Whatever. Whatever the thing is, that's the thing I'm saying. But they're on a reservation, and it's about like you know coming of age kind of stuff. But they it's very very like steeped in the vernacular of like a reservation. And they're just constantly calling everyone a shit ass. And sometimes it's said very affectionately. Sometimes it's said, you know, angrily. Like there's some people, like, I'm not them. But, like, who, like, oh, my little fuckers. Like, talking about, like, their kids or whatever. And it's said affectionately. Or you call your dog a fucked up name. And it's just, like, you know, it's all about tone. It's all tone.
But there's also, and, you know, being in a formerly in a marriage with a Southerner, like there's different ways you can do it too. It's like, bless her heart, like could mean like, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like something like that. Like there would be ways to like, you're doing it like you're like, but the you're not abiding by the spirit of the rules, but you're following the rules, but not the spirit of the, you know, by saying something that it sounds very sweet, but you basically mean like, you know, hope you drive off a cliff and die.
Yeah, I like sincerity in speech. You know, you motherfucking piece of shit.
As opposed to bless
fuck
your,
you,
bless your heart.
You know, that always kind of that. Yeah,
this is off the rails.
Yeah, it's a little bit. off the rails.
We've said a lot of words. There's one I won't. Did you see Fobo Jangles? Like, I'm not going to put that up there. Like, there's one.
No. Isn't that Fubal Jesus? Isn't that what it says?
Sure, whatever.
Yeah. That's a no-no word. That's not a good one. There's a few that are not good ones. Like, there's also, like, slurs, which I think that one borders on a slur. And so, yeah, you want to avoid slurs.
Yes.
But, like, I don't know who I'm slurring by calling somebody a motherfucker, right?
Right.
I mean, I know who I'm slurring. People who...
The Oedipal complex
fuck their
people.
Moms. Yeah. But I don't really care about slurring them. That's fine. Right? Stop doing that.
Like the Kid Toucher one is like, yeah, you're slurring.
Kid Toucher is a little fucked up. Amy seemed to have a problem with that one.
She didn't like that one.
Yeah.
And then she went like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then you like, and then you just like, it becomes short and like, hey, Toucher, you know. Like, what's up? We were playing golf the other day. He went to Harvard too. Like, this guy's like, yeah. I don't know how it even started.
No, that stuff always happens. Yeah.
We've been doing this for like 20 something years. We're like, hey, Toucher. Where did that come from? I don't know. Oh, fun. And he has like, I mean, I was there for the birth of his babies and stuff. Okay.
Did you hold the kid?
Yeah, for sure.
So were you a...
I was the Kid Toucher there. Yeah. I have a picture. He sent me the other day. I think they're like in high school now. They're like teenagers now. But like, he sent me a picture. They're like, oh, when I was... He had twins to start. So like, I think I had one at a time. I didn't do both. But yeah. All right. Well, this... Yeah, I don't know what the fuck. Like, this is off the rails. A lot of swearing. A lot of like, you know, this is not even Disney princess stuff, but like etymology of motherfucker. Like, I didn't even see that on the tweet. But did you just make that up?
No. Okay. No, it was in the hidden replies because it included the word motherfucker. But I'm always one to go into the hidden replies.
You start with there.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Yeah.
On the X.
Sometimes it's just, Elon Musk having done such great things to the website. It's just some like bot. Porn star replying to you. But,
I get those sometimes too, yeah.
But sometimes it's real things.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I guess that's going to wrap things up. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas to all. Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. Hope you enjoy the holidays. We will be broadcasting on Christmas. At least that's the plan. I haven't told my family that. I'm sure they'll love that. I will be back... You'll be here. I'll be back east in the D.C. area where my sister abides and my niece and my parents are going to come down from Massachusetts. So I will be probably in their like basement with a microphone and talking to all you guys about Pac-12 football on Christmas freaking day. That's what we're going to do.
We'll probably be drunk.
Oh, hopefully. Well, yeah. So I'll be later than you.
Yeah, so you'll probably be drunk.
Yeah, I think I'll be doing that. Sweet. Okay. Well, anything else, David? Do we have to? I think we should just go.
I think that's about it. I think we're good.
I think we're, yeah. We went 1 hour and 40 minutes.
Happy holidays to you out there.
We talked about 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour and 40 minutes. We didn't have any, we had one email question.
I'm pretty hungry for lunch. Need to go to the grocery store.
Nice. I gotta record a little video. And I'm meeting an old coworker for lunch.
Look at you.
Yeah. Back in my engineering days, I still talk to some of those engineers, you know.
Mm. Do you keep in touch with your high school friends?
Some, yeah.
Mm.
Facebook's good for a lot of that stuff because, like, that's the age. Like, you might not, but a lot of those people kind of got onto Facebook when young people were doing Facebook, and then people stopped doing Facebook, and they just kind of keep using it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I have, like, a few, like, close friends that we'll chat with. But it's harder too. Like if I don't go back to Massachusetts for Christmas, then I don't usually see, you know, I won't really see them.
Right.
So I won't see them this year. But I'll go. Like my parents are getting older, so I'll try to go back, you know, during the summer or something, go, you know, hang out for the weekend or whatever.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Do you keep in track? I mean, you live in the same town, so.
I keep in touch. One of my very good friends is from high school, and then I speak to basically no one else from high school.
Did you go to any reunions?
No.
I went to like
one. There was a – so, and this is a failure, I think, of our former ASB president. I'm not going to name names. but I could.
Go ahead.
Class president. And was that the class president? I think it was the class president. Joe, it's your fault. There was a 20-year that was supposed to happen this year because it's been 20 years since I graduated high school.
Wow.
Yeah. But they didn't do one. And then it was last minute, like planned by like somebody else. And it was in El Segundo. And I didn't.
You didn't go?
I didn't go. No. And I looked at pictures afterwards and it appeared that 9 people went.
Oh, yeah.
Our graduating class had 250.
Dang.
Yeah. So not a great rate.
No.
Not a high percentage.
I went to one, but it's always, they would always have it on Thanksgiving weekend, and I was always working, so it was hard to. But I went to one. I think my 25th or something I went to. But.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're going to have to do like a 21st or something because they dropped the ball pretty bad this year.
Like a COVID one, but not COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well.
Oh, you wanted to be done with this show?
Well, we're never, like, who the hell knows? Like, why are we just doing this? Yeah. And people are, you know. Have everyone left the chat? Hopefully they've stuck around.
There's 63 people still watching.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry for every one of your souls. But no, thank you. We appreciate that. Thanks
up
for
to 65
the,
now.
Thanks for all the super chats. That's awesome. We love it. And love all the listeners have been the best. We definitely wouldn't be doing this as a labor of love if it wasn't for the great listeners. I don't even look. Did we do any? I forgot about the reviews. Did we get any reviews? Because those are always funny. We can do that next time. But
we got a couple.
Yeah, we'll do it next time.
Oh, okay. You don't want to do it right now?
You want to?
No, it's fine.
Yeah, we'll do it next time. Because the reviews are always great. There's all these, like, funny reviews and stuff. So there'll be Christmas Day reviews. That'll be presents for us looking at our
little presents for us.
5-star reviews on Christmas. Okay. Thank you so much for tuning in. That is David Woods. I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.